Then the Gospel according to John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. And then our text this morning will be the verses 9 through 13. The Word of God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And then our text in the next verses. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Amen. Beloved congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is spiritual ignorance. Three thoughts. First of all, expressed by Nicodemus. Secondly, exposed by Christ. And then thirdly, needs to be expelled by Christ. So spiritual ignorance expressed by Nicodemus, exposed by Christ, and then needs to be expelled by Christ. Beloved congregation, recently we spent a sermon in which we, as it were, overheard the conversation that the Lord Jesus had with Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus by night. We have taken note of how Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus conscious that he needed some help, some advice from Jesus. Then he was very much amazed to hear the Lord tell him that he was not even a beginner in the kingdom of God. Because in order to be a beginner in the kingdom of God, he had to be born again. He had to be born anew. And we spent some time listening to the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Nicodemus and through him teaching us too about the new birth. And we saw at that time, and we reread it this morning, that because of our first birth, we are flesh, fallen, unspiritual. We are something that leads us away from God. To enter the kingdom of God, we need a second birth, a new nature, a new heart. And the Lord emphasized to Nicodemus that this is a work of God's own Spirit. God is able to make us new. God is able to create within us a new principle which will make us indeed the people, a new people of God in Christ Jesus. Now this was the general tenor of the conversation between our Lord and Nicodemus, we might say down to verse 8. And we might well consider, by the time we reach verse 8, what now has been the effect of all this on Nicodemus. What will Nicodemus say next? Or what will he do next? Will he at this moment perhaps fall on his face before Christ and say, "Master, that's exactly it. I am nothing but flesh. I have never been born again. I need a new heart." But no. Instead of this, we read something else. Verse 9. That's how our text for this morning begins. And I quote, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be?" In other words, after all that the Lord Jesus has already taught him, Nicodemus still has questions. That is to say, he is still not willing to submit to this truth, to this reality. And he hides his attitude, this attitude, behind the next question. In other words, he is ready still to debate with Christ. Christ has said to him, "Marvel not, Nicodemus. Don't be surprised." When Nicodemus will not submit, he still has questions. Now this can be true of us as well, congregation. Today, Christ comes to us with the clearest of teaching. He demands that we bow under it, whatever it is. And here we sit. How do we sit here? Well, we don't outright reject it. No, we just sit here and we just keep on adding the questions. Next question. But down deep behind all these questions, there is something else. You may recall from the scriptures that God was once speaking to Job. And it was very difficult for Job to listen to God. Until there came a point where Job was silent. And he was silent for this reason. He said it. He said, "Behold, I am vile. I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." Now, when we are brought to that position, that we lay our hand upon our mouth, when we stop talking, when we realize that here in John 3 we are meeting with God, His own Son, at that point, and not until that point, are we really ready to receive the word of Christ. Recently you heard, and I did too because I sat with you in the pew, we heard a sermon from Romans chapter 3. And we heard from verse 19 that the word of God is preached. The law of God is preached. And that it is preached for this very reason. That every mouth may be stopped. And that all the world may become guilty before God. At this moment, Nicodemus's mouth still was not stopped. He was still ready to open it up and to reply. And he was not yet ready, as Job was, to lay his hand upon his mouth. No, he opened his mouth and the next question was, "How can these things be?" Congregation, this attitude of Nicodemus is a very common attitude, both in the church and in the world. Perhaps especially in the church, where there are many masters of Israel, so to speak, like Nicodemus. They're very learned, and they have their thoughts, their opinions. But when it comes to the very simple question, do you now live out of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you follow after holiness? Are you born from above? What think ye of Christ? Lovest thou Christ? Then many in our midst respond with the next question, and another question, and an objection. And then it's almost like they feel more comfortable with the debate than with the simple truth, a simple yes or no. At this moment, I am not speaking of the trembling soul who has come to know himself and who dares not to lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, and who must acknowledge that he is not as he wishes to be, and yet he cannot deny that there has come a difference in his life. I'm not speaking about you now, but I'm speaking about men and women like Nicodemus, who when the Lord asks them a question, they turn away from an honest answer and they start a debate, make an objection, or they put their question between the Lord's question and their answer. Is it not true? Then you say something like, well, there are so many different opinions about that. Or you say, listen, the way I was raised. Or you say, I remember once reading a book about this. And I guess I'm still confused about it. You see, that's what I mean. Questions, statements that stand between you and the Lord. And it is on your part an utter refusal to submit before God. And notice that the Lord Jesus did not say to Nicodemus what maybe you thought he should have said. He did not say to Nicodemus's question, oh, well, Nicodemus, I see that you're still finding it difficult, and I can sympathize with your difficulty. Let me try from another angle, Nicodemus, and make it a little simpler yet. No, Jesus does not do that. Jesus is the all-knowing prophet who has come from God and who knows what is man. And he goes on and he lays bare, and that will be our second point this morning, he lays bare what actually is going on in Nicodemus's heart. Jesus exposes him. Read verse 10 with me and then verse 11. And I quote, Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. See what the Lord Jesus does in these words? He rebukes Nicodemus. This is the very opposite of sympathy for Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus speaks strong words of condemnation to him, and condemnation particularly because of his unbelief, his ignorance. And what the Lord Jesus actually is doing, he's lifting from Nicodemus the veil of the question of Nicodemus, so that he, Nicodemus, can see, and we can see it too, what Nicodemus is doing in reality. And how frequently don't we do the same thing? We veil our words. It is as if we dress them up So that the one to whom we are speaking cannot really see our real intention behind those words, our real aim in those words. And we can do that at least to an extent with man. But we cannot do it with Christ. Christ sees through the next question of Nicodemus for what it is. And he responds. He says one thing and then he says another thing about it. What does he say? First of all, he says, Nicodemus, what you're doing is sinful ignorance. Art thou a master of Israel, he says. That is, art thou a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things? You see, Nicodemus belonged to a class of men who were the professional teachers of Israel. We might say the church today. And Nicodemus was a leader among the Pharisees, a doctor of the law, one of the religious experts in religious truths. When Nicodemus would walk on the street and people saw him, then before they saw him, they would say to one another, "There is Rabbi Nicodemus." And Jesus says to Rabbi Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, what have you been doing all these years? Art thou a master of Israel and thou knowest not these things? What then have you been teaching? If you don't even know the spiritual ABCs." It's like a man who has professed to be a driving instructor. And he has been so for years. And it is discovered one day that he doesn't even know how to start a car engine. It's like that. The Lord Jesus, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" He is, you understand, rebuking Nicodemus for his sinful, guilty ignorance. You see, this man Nicodemus has missed the most fundamental truth, a fundamental truth that stands out on every page of the Old Testament scriptures. It's the truth that man is fallen and depraved and corrupt, and that God is high and holy and righteous, and that if man is to be reconciled to God, then that man, his heart needs to be renewed. Man, as he is, cannot stand in the presence of God. The whole of the Old Testament scriptures teach that very thing. And in the Old Testament scriptures, God was constantly teaching his people Israel two truths. First of all, that their heart is corrupt, and that that corrupt heart needs to be removed, needs to be renewed. Is that not the truth of the Old Testament? The teaching of the new birth is everywhere. May I read you one verse from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 6. Here it is. "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord." Circumcision. And every time when a boy 8 days old was circumcised, then there was not only the removal of some flesh of his foreskin, but then the Lord was teaching his people that their hearts needed to be circumcised. So every time there was a circumcision, the people were reminded of this truth. Let me quote you another verse, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Very familiar to, I think, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." Or David in Psalm 51, and we will sing it at the close of the service, where he prays, "Create in me a clean heart, a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now here is Nicodemus. He's been teaching the law of God for many years. And all the time he has missed this foundation truth of the word of God, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You know, we all have the temptation that we think that spiritual ignorance is not sin. It's not good as such, but we tend to think it's not a sin. But you know, we live in God's creation. And in God's creation, we have the very word of God. And especially here in church, you and I, like Nicodemus, you might say every one of us is a master of Israel. What is it that Jesus says to you this morning? Have you been in Sunday school for 3 years and you don't know these things? Have you been in catechism all these years and you don't know these things? Have you attended the Bible class all these times and you don't know these things? Have you sat in church these umpteen years and you don't know these things? And you have no excuse now. Spiritual ignorance is a sin. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? The Lord is saying, you have no business whatsoever to be ignorant. You ought to know it. So that's the first thing he says to Nicodemus when he, as he exposes him, he says, you are spiritually ignorant, but your ignorance is sinful. But Jesus goes on to say a second thing, and he said, your ignorance, Nicodemus, is a proud ignorance. So Jesus teaches that his ignorance is not just due to lack of evidence, but it is due to his pride. Spiritual ignorance is due to man's pride. Here is Nicodemus. He comes to the Lord Jesus. And he expects to have a conversation with Jesus as two men who are equal. And that is Nicodemus's unbelief at once. He was going to carefully weigh what Jesus would say to him. And he hoped that in that process he would increase his wisdom by learning some things from Jesus. Perhaps not accepting everything that Jesus was going to say. And as Nicodemus is listening here to Jesus, Nicodemus tries step by step to follow Jesus in his own mind. And Nicodemus finds he's getting very confused. And then when the Lord Jesus speaks about the new birth, Nicodemus is lost. And then in verse 8, the Lord Jesus gently warns Nicodemus not to suppose that the great works of God can simply be followed by man's mind. He says to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, God's works in creation even are mysterious and marvelous. Don't you suppose, Nicodemus, that you can follow all the depths of the works of God? And even then, Nicodemus does not heed the warning of the Lord Jesus, but still tries to keep up with Jesus in his own reason. And so he says to Jesus in verse 9, how can these things be? And the reason that his mind is in turmoil and confusion is simply that he is trusting his own reasoning and not submitting to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 11. Jesus answers, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and ye receive not our witness. Jesus says to Nicodemus, ye receive not. Nicodemus, Jesus says, you are rejecting what I'm saying. Nicodemus's problem, and our problem too, is our appalling pride. Face to face with the Son of God, and willing rather to trust our own reason than to submit to the words and the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we could say that there is no simpler definition of a believer in Christ than to say that a believer in Christ is a person who listens to Christ, who clings to Christ, who holds on to the words of Christ. And this proves that Nicodemus is not a believer in Christ. He's not listening. He's not holding on to the words of Christ. Martin Luther has a very fine illustration at this point. He says that becoming a Christian is like this. Let me just read it from my notes. Imagine a man who has to pass over a narrow cleft on a steep rocky wall. If he misses by a single inch, he will fall down into a bottomless precipice. There is no other way up or across. Now imagine this man who has to go over is afraid of heights. He feels dizzy, and the thought of putting his foot on this narrow ledge is just appalling. He'll never do it. He'll fall off at once. What is he to do? And this is what Luther says. He has to shut his eyes and take the hand of a guide who will step before him. If he does that, he will be as safe as a child. End of quote. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We have come to a point where all our wisdom is failing, where we don't know anymore. What do we know about heaven and hell? What do we know about the great mysteries of heaven and hell? We have come to a point that we lay our hand upon our mouth, as it were, and we shut our eyes. And we hold on to the word, to the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, he is, as it were, standing at the edge of that precipice, and his knees are knocking. And he's supposed to take that first step. But he will not do it yet. Instead, he wants to delay this self-humiliation. And his heart does what his heart is best at. What is it? The next question. A theoretical question. He says to Jesus, how can these things be? Nicodemus still does not bow. What is that congregation? It is P-R-I-D-E. Pride. The ancient church father Cyprian, from North Africa in the 3rd century AD, so a long time ago, shared this story about himself. I'll read it to you. He says, I used to wander blindly in the darkness of night, buffeted this way and that in the stormy sea of the world. Here and there I floated, ignorant of my own life, and a stranger to the truth and the light. I used to think that what God in his tenderness promised me for my salvation was difficult, indeed distasteful. How could a man be reborn and quickened for a new life? How could one be regenerated and have done with all the past and, without physical changes, be altered in heart and soul? How, I asked myself, was such a conversion possible? For I was captured and held prisoner by the countless sins of my past life. I did not believe it was possible to be rid of them, so I became slave to my vices. I despaired of better things. I learned to make excuses for my faults, which had become my familiar friends. You see how Cyprian pinpoints his problem. What was his problem? His excuses. His sin. And now he goes on, and this is what he wrote. A light from above entered and permeated my heart, now cleansed from its defilement. The Spirit came from heaven and changed me into a new man by the second birth. Almost at once, in a marvelous way, doubt gave way to assurance. What had been shut tight opened. Light shone in dark places, and I found what had previously seemed impossible could be done. End of quote. That's exactly how it is. As long as our heart is a heart of pride, and as long as pride has possession of our heart, faith, true faith, that is impossible. As long as pride reigns, faith is impossible. And this brings us to our very final point for this morning, congregation, that spiritual ignorance needs to be expelled by Christ. You see, what the Lord Jesus does in these verses of the Scriptures is teach us a very essential truth. It is this truth that nobody will become a true Christian until he is truly convicted, until he is truly silenced. And those people are not going to truly receive the gospel either, even if they make themselves believe that they love the gospel. But they don't have use for what Jesus is talking about here. See, how can this be? Look at verse 12 with me. Jesus says, as it were, to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, the message that I have to deliver you and that I have to deliver to all men is a message that is made up of several parts. And the first part I have already told you, and that is about your need of a renewed heart. Jesus says, I have told you earthly things. The things that happen in human experience, the things that happen that are observable in the world. That men have hearts that need to be renewed, and that God is able to renew. Jesus says to Nicodemus, if you cannot receive these words, these first truths, what hope is there of you receiving the other words? Is that what he says? He says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? There is more to know, Nicodemus. If you are going to be a believer on me, but if you cannot get over the first truth, you will not get over the others either. Now, what does Jesus mean by the heavenly things? The truth about himself, the Son of God becoming man, coming under the law and bearing the wrath of God in his body and soul, a substitute for his people, atoning for their sin. And what we'll look at the next week is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the death of the cross. Those are the heavenly things. The truth that God so loved sinners that it was necessary for his own Son to go to shame and condemnation of the cross, that by his stripes we might be healed. That is a heavenly truth. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, there is no hope of you receiving those truths until you understand this first truth. Until your pride is humbled. It's impossible while pride reigns in your heart to accept spiritual truths. You see, congregation, pride is a terrible thing. I think I've said it to you before. We use the word pride quite readily. We say, I'm a proud father. Don't you be. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride shuts your mind and eyes to everything that is disagreeable to your own self-esteem, your own self-importance. Why do you think was Nicodemus talking the way he was talking? And with all that he had learned from the Old Testament, he had never seen the necessity of a new birth. Why was that? It's a simple truth. Why was it? Because he didn't like it. That's why. And some of us have been brought up in churches where this truth was never preached. You never heard there of the necessity of the new birth. Why was that? They had the Bible. They preached from the Bible. But they never preached on the necessity of the new birth. Except in some churches, as I once heard it myself. Where the minister preached the necessity of the new birth. And then he said, but now we are all the covenant people of God. And we can rejoice that we have all been born again. No. No. That's not what the Word of God teaches. Why is it that our churches do not teach what the Word of God teaches? Because they don't like to hear it. What churches are they then? They are the churches and they are the people that are not ready to believe that we are fallen, needy, sinners. And that is pride. I'm about to close, congregation. And I wonder at this moment how we stand this morning. Is there perhaps somebody here who sits in the pew and he thinks, now, you got me confused. I just don't know how these things can be. I don't know why this minister simply goes on preaching about this passage. He did it 3 weeks ago, and now he comes with another sermon on this same passage. There are other chapters in the Bible, Pastor. Why don't you preach about those? Can it be, my friend, that you are confused for the very same reason that Nicodemus was confused? And that you will not humble yourself before the words of Christ. Listen. Listen. Because only when you begin to listen does this marvel continue that Jesus is speaking of here. Jesus does what you cannot do. He does give a new heart. He comes to those who are broken by the Word of God in spirit. He comes to those who have no help. He comes to those who have laid their hand upon their mouth. And he speaks to them and he says, peace, be still, rise up. He gives them what they cannot give themselves. You know, a few decades ago, and I remember reading of it a few decades ago, there was a woman by the name of Etta Linneman, who was a young woman at that time, steeped in liberalism. Like Nicodemus, she was a professor of theology in Germany. She was the first woman in Germany to hold a professorship in New Testament. But she was an unbeliever. And she promoted that unbelief in her lectures and in her writings. But there was a gaping void in her heart and life. But she filled that gaping void with alcohol and increasing alcoholism and another addiction as well, namely that of watching television. And then in the providence of God, some vibrant Christians came into her life. And God, the living God, began to deal with that woman, that professor in New Testament. He began to deal with her soul, and he showed her the very first things about sin and her need of rebirth. And this is what she writes in a testimony. My destructive addictions were replaced by a hunger and thirst for his word and for fellowship with Christians. I was able to recognize sin clearly as sin, rather than merely make excuses for it, as was my previous habit. I can still remember the delicious joy I felt when, for the first time, black was once more black, and white was once more white. The two ceased to pull together as an indistinguishable gray. Do you hear that? All her excuses had to go. She had to learn the first thing. And what a joy there was in her heart when black was once again black and white was once again white. Oh, how our excuses, our unbelief, our pride, they all have to go. Do you know of that in your life? You know, it was after this conversation in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus became silent. That was the mercy of God. And we will see more of it a future time. But it was the mercy of God whereby Nicodemus, the talker, the teacher, was silenced. He had no more to say. And the next time we hear of Nicodemus in the Gospels, he is already a Christian, a disciple of the Lord. But remember that this is the turning point. When we are brought to a position of recognizing that we must needs assent to and accept the very words of Christ. And what a glorious thing it would be if we, if all of us would know this hand putting it upon our mouth and being silent. I mean being silent before God. And we would stop talking. And we submitted ourselves as little children. As Jesus says in Matthew 18 verse 3, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Our pride has to go. And when our pride has gone, then these truths will be simple and clear and wonderful. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, how shall we thank Thee for this lesson? Give us the grace that we stop asking next questions. but put our hand upon our mouth and submit. As a little child, to thy teaching. And let it please thee to perform that which we are not able to perform, but that thou wilt do to broken hearts and humble spirits. For Jesus' sake, and to thee, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, shall be glory, for of thee and through thee and unto thee are all things. To thee be the glory forever. Amen.